Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. Welcome to another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave a comment or two. And now without further delay, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner, Podcast Crime. Reg, what is?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's happening with you?
Man, you know, just floating, man. You know, I got got my new line out, man. Fresh Originals, man, that just dropped July 12th.
Nice. Congrats, brother.
Appreciate it, man. It's doing moderately well, better than I expected coming out the shoot, man. So, you know, FreshOriginalsApparel.com.
Glad I was able to rock one of them joints out in Vegas, man.
Yeah, man, you get no more free shit.
Had your shit on the strip.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate the love, man. And to everybody who's purchased thus far, man. You know, got all my orders out already. They're on the way. If you don't already have them in your hand by the time this airs, we appreciate your support, man. I mean, it's humbling. It's and, you know, humility is not one of the things that most people use to describe me, but I am definitely humbled that people are accepting of my my creative ideas in as far as, you know, streetwear, fashion, things like that. It's a lot more to come. I got a whole lot of things on the table with that. And we got some other stuff coming too, man. You know, some more sponsorships that are coming up with some really big deals coming through, man. So be on the lookout for that, man. So, but anyway, man, what are we going to do today?
Another top 10?
Top 10, man. Got to get people with the mall play. And it's like, you know, not to be stealing from, you know, the folks at ESPN, but we really do give the people what they really want. Because every time I get a text, it's normally about the top 10. And, bro, can you believe that I am still getting texts about...
Don't say it.
Dude.
Top 10
MCs, bro.
I know.
Dude, that show has legs. That show has some legs, bro. That thing's been running. Still gets about 125 listens a week.
Wow.
We did that shit in 2018.
Yeah.
And motherfuckers still mad. They still mad. But we appreciate the love, though. I mean, all seriousness, all bullshit aside. Definitely appreciate the love on that, man, because, you know, when we created it, it was just in a vacuum and we were so busy arguing amongst each other, you know, that we didn't realize that. I knew that it was a hotly debated topic in barbershops and, you know,
all over
whatever,
the world,
all, you know,
man,
barbecues,
yeah.
Every, I mean, you know,
it crosses genders, it crosses ethnicities.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I knew it was a big deal, but I didn't know that our show would have that kind of legs,
yeah,
to where it would still be getting that many listens.
That's what's up, man.
On a weekly basis. So we appreciate everybody that has forwarded the show to, you know, the people probably saying, listen to these motherfuckers. They think they know some hip hop, whatever. I mean, hey, look, we appreciate it. Appreciate the love, man. And we appreciate y'all, you know, for real. I can't say it enough, man. But today's top 10 is going to be top 10 movie soundtracks. Now, I'm going to give my criteria because I know your list. What I normally say about your list, man.
That is the greatest.
But my criteria is, number one, how can I put it? I'm getting my phonetics and shit wrong. If I didn't see the motherfucking movie, I didn't rate the soundtrack.
That was in mine too.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and that's really the only criteria other than the protagonist had to be black.
Okay.
Meaning that, you know, either the first or the second actor had to be black. You know?
Okay. Yeah. Mine was not to cut. Were you finished with your criteria?
No, I was finished with the thought on the criteria because that's it for me. That was it. I didn't want to make it too complex.
Yeah, I had to have seen the movie, and I had to really have liked the majority of the songs. So sometimes you can like say, oh,
but
you
that's
know,
a given though,
it's
man.
Like,
we're talking about best no, soundtrack. So subjectively speaking, you would think that you would have.
I'm saying
that.
Some people get carried away because it's three songs on there that's bumping. Right. You know what I'm saying? But the rest is trash.
Right.
So I literally went through some, you know,
right.
Wrote
and
down
I
some
think subconsciously I did that too.
Because I would have thought like, oh, I remember that. Yeah, that had a banger soundtrack. But when I revisited, I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm like,
I'm gonna give you a prime
37
example. I'm gonna give you a prime example of one that had like one hot song on it that I thought about real quick. It was a Sprung soundtrack.
Okay.
Horrible movie. But it had Who You With on
Tisha Campbell.
It had Who You With on it. Jay-Z.
Okay.
You know, Do to Get More Shows You With.
Yeah.
Who You With. Anyway, that was a nice song. But if you know, I got every CD known to man. When I looked at the track list, I was like, I don't know the rest of these motherfuckers on here.
Okay.
You know, so I think it had a couple more A-listers, but it wasn't, I mean, the shit was trash.
And the song had to align the song
with the movie,
had to align with the theme,
yeah,
you know, for the most part.
Yeah,
so a lot of times they just throw in songs
because a lot of times Quiet is Kept, man, people don't know that, you know, just from a layperson's perspective, a lot of these movie soundtracks are negotiated with by record labels when they're trying to put artists on to see what kind of buzz they can create.
Yeah,
that's why you get a lot of motherfuckers. You be like, who is singing what? You know,
right,
who the fuck
right.
is. It's because they're trying to get their artists on. They're trying to see if they can create a buzz. If the movie's big, if the song's in the movie, it's paid advertisement. It's paid play. So, you know, that's the game. It's always been the game. So,
yeah.
But yeah, as far as the criteria in regards to liking most of the songs, I think I subconsciously did that. I didn't write that down and say, I'm going to announce this as one of my criteria. Because if I didn't like more than three songs, I didn't really put it on the choice. So,
yeah,
you know, right. So it kind of just fell out that way.
There
so
is.
Man, I'm gonna let you go ahead and I'm gonna let you go ahead and go first. So I'm gonna let you start off your fucked up bad.
I usually go first.
All right, man, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah.
It's a fucked up bad.
Honorable mentions though. Okay.
Oh,
as we do. This
no
is
descriptions.
Our, this
just,
is our
just,
thing.
Just keep it brief.
Keep it brief. Right, okay, well, I gotta say something now. Damn. Come on. Jungle Fever.
That is honorable
jungle,
mention.
Jungle Fever.
Yep.
Okay, Girl Six.
Oh man, I forgot about Girl Six. Girl Six See? Was bumping.
Okay. Boiler Room had a very nice soundtrack.
What the fuck is Boiler Room? I
2000.
Who's
it? Had well, Nia Long was in it.
Oh, okay.
But it was about Wall Street trading.
And it had a
Vin Diesel. What's your boy?
He lost me.
Shit, I forget who else.
Let's just move on. You said Vin Diesel. Let's move on.
Nah, but it was a good movie. You've probably seen the movie.
No, I haven't seen the movie. I guarantee you.
Okay. Crush Groove. Boys in the Hood and High School High had a bumping soundtrack there.
High School High, yeah.
And the reason I got Jungle Fever and Girl Six because very unique with Prince did Girl
and
Six
Wonder.
And Stevie Wonder did Jungle Fever
right.
And Spike was
right.
pretty good with some of his movies with soundtracks like that. But
right.
Those are my honorable mentions. What about you?
My honorable mentions, man. I only have three, man. And one is Above the Rim.
As an honorable mention.
As an honorable mention.
This nigga.
The other is Romeo Must Die.
Okay.
That's an honorable mention. And the other, I flip-flop on it, man, but the hip-hop in me kind of prevailed, and it's a Nutty Professor.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
That's the first Nutty.
All right. Gotcha. Yeah. I heard that one, but it was okay.
It was honorable mention, man. Yeah, I mean, there's honor in its mention.
It's honor and it's mentioned.
Right.
And you did that, sir.
Right.
You mentioned it. Yes. All right, so number 10, right?
Yeah.
Mo' Better Blues.
Fuck. Man. Bruh, I forgot all about that Mo' Better, man. Love Supreme.
It's too many movies. It's too many movies, really, to capture all this stuff.
Man,
Mo' Better Blues,
my list is already fucked up.
Damn.
Man.
See?
Damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard it.
Gosh.
He always says mine is fucked up.
My list is already. I should have had that at least an honorable mention. Man.
Yeah, but
you're right.
Mo' Better Blues, man, is just from the jazz. You know, Wynton Marsalis.
I'm telling you, man.
It's like Guru is in it. I believe has some Guru.
I don't know if it would have cracked the top 10, but it definitely should have been my honorable mention.
I had to put it in there.
Yeah. Okay.
Where you at?
My number 10, man, is actually American Gangster.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm a hip-hop head, man. And I like that concept album, you know, by Jay-Z. And it kind of went with the motif of the movie. tracks on the shit were hot to me. And that's it, man. Yeah. And I like the movie a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I like the movie better than the soundtrack, personally.
Yeah.
But
I think I did too, but the songs were just kind of, when I listen to the songs, it's the kind of hip-hop music I like to make, the frenetic, the sample bass, the horns,
Okay.
That's just the kind of shit I like to hear, sonically, so.
All right.
But anyway.
Here it is. Number 9, Superfly.
Okay.
Basically, I think it was like 6 or 7 tracks, but it was all Curtis Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and play them joints, man, again, it sticks with the theme of the movie, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It was real, it was real pimp, man. And Curtis Mayfield, you know, rest in peace, man. It's just one of those laid back and you just listen to it and sort of vibe. I mean, this is probably the oldest, or it is the oldest movie on my list. 1972 it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to squeeze that one in, man, for its uniqueness of the vibe of Curtis Mayfield.
Right. Hey, man, coincidentally, man, my number 9 is Superfly.
Get out.
I bullshit you not. That shit's a, what's that say? Superfly, number 9.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, that soundtrack is probably, and the reason why it's not higher for me is because I saw Superfly, man, I think it was in my 40s when I finally saw the movie Superfly.
Okay, so about 20 years ago.
The reason why it's not higher is because I didn't live.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? I, it's hard for me to speak to its importance when I wasn't really alive at that particular time. However, I didn't put it at 10. And I put it a notch above American Gangster because the artist who did American Gangster, you know, employed producers who sampled tons of Curtis Mayfield shit.
Okay.
So you can't put the, you know, cart before the horse. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that the contribution to the tracks that are on there to the culture that I love, which is hip hop music, a lot of it has its genesis in the feel, the substance, the texture, and the character of Curtis Mayfield's music.
Yeah.
So that is why it is in my top 10. It's in the bottom rung of it because of the fact that I contextually speaking, I couldn't speak to its importance because I didn't live it. So,
yeah,
I took a lot off for that because it's hard to put into words how, for instance, my mother or my aunt or my uncle would have felt about it.
Yeah,
they probably thought it was the whatever of its day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel that, so I couldn't put it any higher than that.
I feel you. All right, cool. Number 8. Alright, so I had an A and B on number 8.
Okay.
Alright. Brown Sugar. I like the soundtrack. I think it sort of, from start to finish. And it was a lot of I like Mos Def.
Mm-hmm.
Yasin Bey now. But Mos Def had a lot of cuts in there, and I liked the vibe of that whole CD. I don't know. I love the movie, so it sort of fit for me. That movie came out in 2002.
Yeah, it didn't make my top 10, man. But I like the vibe of it. I mean, I would be hard pressed to put up an argument about that.
Okay,
I'd be hard pressed to put up an argument about that.
And 8B was He Got Game. Movie came out in 1998. Of course, Denzel Washington. That's probably in your top 3, I'm sure.
No, He Got Game is not on my top 10 at all.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, that was
because I really didn't. And I'm gonna tell you,
didn't like
why.
The songs in it.
I'm gonna tell you why.
It was all Public Enemy.
Yeah, man. I know it was all Public Enemy, and you know that Public Enemy is my favorite rap group of all time. This shit is public knowledge. It's not a fucking surprise. But man, I didn't like the songs.
Really?
Public Enemy made. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just didn't like it. I don't like it. You know, and it's not like that this is going to make Public Enemy not my favorite
rapper
anymore. So, you know, you don't like everything your favorite artist put out. I didn't like this shit at all.
Oh, okay.
I honestly wasn't even a big fan of the movie. You know,
yeah,
I mean, the movie was okay, but I just,
yeah, it was a mediocre movie.
It was mediocre at best. So,
But I, again, I sort of champion Spike for
using one,
the uniqueness. And but I actually adversely, I like the songs. I like the songs, and it sort of fit the theme of the movie too. So, that's why I gave it a 9. Who was your 8, man?
My number 8 is Boomerang, man.
Okay.
And you know, all you gotta do is throw in the motherfucking soundtrack, man, and listen to it.
It, to me, it didn't crack because it had a few songs in there that were, like what you said earlier, it seemed like toward the end, it was like some new artist type of vibe.
Mm-hmm. There was some stuff on
there. It had that, I don't know, like maybe some lollipop type stuff. Like, hey, I'm trying to get known here.
Right.
I think the movie way surpassed the soundtrack.
I give you that, man. But the one thing that I'll put you like this. When you look at I Die Without You, that's probably the only PM Dawn song that I like. All right. End of the Road was on it. You're looking at that shit sold like 7 bazillion copies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Love Should Have Brought You Home was a smash. There You Go, Johnny Gill was a hot song.
Yeah.
And then they had Tribe on that shit, had Hot Sex on the Platter.
Now that was, you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I mean, when you look at that, that's what? 1, 5, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's about half. That's
5 of 12.
I mean, that's,
I don't know.
You know, that's my number 8. I'm just saying, you know, yeah. and they were like really, really solid hits, you know, from that soundtrack as far as being on the charts. I mean, they were solid.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, that's,
I give you that. As you broke it down like that.
All right. Okay, man.
7. I got a 7A, 7B.
Okay. All right.
Men in Black. Tight. If you hadn't heard it, Tight. My favorite joint in there was The Roots with D'Angelo and Erykah Badu. Shining Star. Tight. Even Will Smith stuff on there I liked. But some nice, it was just a nice flow, nice collaboration of. Now maybe I have it that low to me. I would have put it higher, but it really, you fit the theme of Men in Black. It didn't really, the song titles or whatever didn't really fit it. So out of my criteria, I reneged a little bit, but I think the song
I'd say a lot, but because like I said, the songs may have been hot, but they really didn't. When you're talking about science fiction, it's hard to fit R&B and rap into science fiction unless that's the motif,
right,
of the movies. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I see Black Panther.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. So it's, you know, yeah. I can't fuck with you on that. But nonetheless, but, I mean, that's just what it is.
Yeah. And part B was 7B was New Jack City.
Dude, are you serious?
How New Jack City came in with Ice-T, that alone just had my attention.
I gotta hear the rest of your motherfucking top 10 if New Jack City is that motherfucking low.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I got him at 7.
Alright, man. My number 7 is Soul Food, man.
Okay.
The soundtrack was kind of, I mean, I don't want to say it was mellow, but I think it was kind of mellow. And at this particular time, you know, I think I was kind of going through some shit. I would have been like 26 at the time, and so, you know, I kind of was feeling the, you know, the vibe, because I think that it kind of, mm-hmm, I think it fit the movie. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that I think that, you know, they put September on the soundtrack, which is a redo of, you know, that's one of my favorite songs of all time by Earth, Wind & Fire. But I think they could have been a little bit more original with that. But you know, it has some hits on it, man. You know, obviously the Boyz II Men song, a song for Mama. And then they had What About Us, you know, on it. I think that was Total.
Yeah.
So I like the, and a lot of these shits on here, man, are not like chart topping hits, but they were real good grooves at the time. Like all the stuff by Babyface that was, you know, that he produced on there was like real, was really good shit, man.
Yeah.
So again, like I said, maybe not the,
it sounds like a 7 on your list.
Yeah. It's like a 7, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, because the songs were solid. I think the biggest chart topper was probably A Song for Mama by Boyz II Men, but you know. Yeah, nonetheless, that's what it is.
It went bad. Didn't crack mine, but nonetheless.
It's a solid soundtrack, though.
Yeah. All right. Number 6, mm-hmm, I had to split it up again, but Above the Rim, you had him honorable mention. Mm-hmm. It was just too strong for me. From Afro Puffs to Regulate, to, I mean, it had a good mixture West and East Coast vibe for me. Mm-hmm. I think it was a lot of anticipation around that movie too, and I think the song sort of lived up to the anticipation of the movie at the time back in 94. Mm-hmm. Part B, 6B was Waiting to Exhale, which came out the year later.
Okay.
What's the wild for you? Is that?
We'll get to it.
Yeah, okay. Waiting to Exhale, I think, was a great vibe. Good hits. You know, Whitney was in there. My favorite cut on there was Way You by Shantae Moore. You talking about vibe, brother. But I don't know. I think from start to finish, it was just a good sort of mellow soundtrack, man. And actually, some of the titles, the way that the songs moved, or some of the titles and themes of it, really touched into the movie too, if you saw the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my 6A and B.
All right. Well, my number 6, on this particular one, which is strange, I don't have any A's or B's. They're just straight up. Because I wanted to be definitive. I wanted to make a decision.
Because you had E's and F's on the last.
Right, right. You know, I was like, this shit could be all day. But man, my number 6 is Juice.
Okay.
And my disclaimer for Juice is this. The first 3 songs off the shit are like crazy. But then it starts to taper off. Mm-hmm. But it's not like it's bad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The tracks are still cool, but it's some motherfuckers that you may not know. Except for EPMD, Too Short, Aaron Hall, Salt and Pepper's on there too. But shit, Big Daddy Kane's on there too. So it's like,
oh, he ripped it.
Right. So, you know, the tracks are tight, but then there's some other motherfuckers that are on there that, you know, weren't really, you know. And it kind of brought it down. So it tapered off to, you know, the more that you got down to the end, but it was a pretty strong first half of the soundtrack. And for that, I'm like, it's definitely more mm-hmm. than 50-60% dope. You know what I'm saying? And for any album, let alone a soundtrack, for any album, that's actually pretty good. What gets me about soundtracks though, man, is that you have the opportunity to make the type of album you want to make if you got the money to do it. Which is why I don't understand why most soundtracks aren't as truly dope as they could be. Because you can, you know, if you got a $10 million budget for the movie, I mean, I know you got $600,000 for the soundtrack.
You got something.
So, but anyway, that's my number 6, man, Juice. Well, I got enough to go around.
My number 5 was Juice. And you sort of, I mean, I'm not going, yeah, I think you said pretty much what I would say about it. I think the movie is, I like
the
Juice.
The movie is like, it's a, I don't even want to say it's a hood classic. It's a coming of age classic, you know. Yeah, and, I mean, Juice is a tight movie.
Yeah, and I think it was more, I think the soundtrack was maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to say better than the movie, but the soundtrack was, the artists on there
had more cachet than the actors in the movie
at that time. Right. Yeah. And if you look at Juice, it seemed like it was like it was shot independent or something. It was like an independent movie, but had a A-list soundtrack with some of the stars. Right. You know,
you got to think that the stars of it were really just starting out at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as acting and stuff goes, man. So,
but that was my number 5. So.
All right, man. My number 5 is, you ready?
Yep.
Bodyguard.
Oh, boy.
You remember what I told you that the criteria had to be, man?
You pulling in these tearjerkers.
No, but on some real shit, though, man. The Bodyguard, if you just look at the, I mean, if you just look at the hits, bro, I mean, the album was...
But would you, I mean, see a lot of these too? I would like play them today. You would you play bodyguard in the car?
I don't think that that's
you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's part of your criteria.
That wasn't my. I'm just saying if you just look at the, if you just take everything that Whitney did on it, fuck everything else. If you just take what she did on it, it's a Grammy worthy album. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I will always love you, even though that was a Dolly Parton song. I have nothing. I'm every woman. Run to you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, the first four songs, man, that's Grammy.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Cardi B win Grammy, so I mean, you know.
I get what you're saying, but I mean, based on my criteria, this is number five. If Cardi B was rapping, that's I will fair. Always love you. I would probably put her in the top 10 too.
I mean, you know, okay.
I'm just saying you cannot argue the quality of this music, man. And that's the one thing that we talked about as far as criteria was the quality of the music, not necessarily the quality of the movie. Because I didn't really like the movie per se. It was okay, but I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't one of my favorite movies. But when we talk about the quality of the music,
okay.
And does it go with the movie? This should go with one this shit. It's like
one of the best selling soundtrack ever.
It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest. So I'm just saying, okay. Come on, why the fuck you hating?
All right.
Damn.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
What's your number five?
If that's what you like.
Is that your
I already
name?
Gave you five with
okay.
Juice.
Okay. What's your Juice? What's your
this four? This nigga went from Juice to Bodyguard.
Hey, it is what it is, man. I'm diverse like that.
You know, Lego movie gonna be four. All right, my four is all right. This is the last A and B, but it makes sense. These are my two of my favorite MCs.
Okay,
these are so Notorious and All Eyes on Me, and I had to because in the songs that they chose, I mean Tupac and Biggie, I mean arguably, you know two of the greatest, and the movie soundtracks sort of highlighted their music. Period. And so I had to put them somewhere up there. And so Notorious came out in 2009. All Eyes on Me movie came out in 2017. It's just speaks for itself to me. It's almost like they're
okay,
you know, an ode to them.
All right.
And so that's my number four, A and B.
Okay. My number four is The Best Man. I think I might have had that at like number four of my top movies too. I think it just sounds familiar though.
Yeah, I think the easiest way I went through both of our movies first to see if what made sense.
And this is the thing, man. It's I think that this particular one, it doesn't necessarily have the chart topping power. You know what I'm saying? It's not really. I mean, a lot of shit didn't hit from this particular one, but I just felt like that the vibe. I mean, I can listen to this shit all the way through, like it's a regular album. You know,
okay.
I mean, the album gives a really good break as far as the vibe of it goes. You know, after you know it, you know, comes to Turn the Lights Down Low by you know Lauryn Hill with the Bob Marley transposition of his vocals. You know, it really just it flows very well, and you know I just like the vibe of it, man. The vibe of it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It just didn't crack mine, but yeah, I love the movie for sure.
The movie's one of my favorite.
Was it back
movies.
In 99 or something?
It
was crazy.
Yeah, it was a minute ago.
Yeah, it was.
But that shit was good. That's probably I can watch The Best Man at any time it comes on. That's one of the movies I watch where you know.
Yeah.
You know, I got a partner of mine, man. I swear, this dude acts just like Terrence Howard's character.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He acts just like, I mean, he acts just like that.
And matter of fact, let me ask you, in the soundtrack, was D'Angelo song in there? Shit Damn Motherfucker?
I don't think it was listed.
Oh, okay.
But they probably played it in the movie, didn't they?
Yeah, because speaking of, you know, theme, that was perfect timing for when he read dude's book. Remember he read his book and he got, before he drugged
Tay Diggs' ass. Yeah. That movie was fire, man. Like I said, it was, I think I spoke about this, man, and I'm only going to take about maybe 10 seconds for this. The way that they styled that movie, that was a chic, sophisticated Uptown mm-hmm. movie with a whole bunch of black ass motherfuckers in it, and that's one of the reason why I love that movie, man. Mm-hmm. It showed us in all of the flaws that we have in regards to relationships and honesty and trust and shit like that. You know, we looked like we were professionals at handling our business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody knows just because you got your shit together professionally doesn't mean that you got it together personally. So,
right.
You know, I thought it was a microcosm of what society actually is. It just happened to be everybody was black in that motherfucker. So that's why I really love that movie.
Very well said, sir.
All right, man.
So, I couldn't agree more.
So my number.
That was four.
Yeah. So
you, all right. You're so we cracking. Three? Yeah. So we're cracking down the last three. So number three. A movie that came out in 2000, Loving Basketball.
Man, like
Loving Basketball from top, I'm telling you. I Like Guy, Lucy Pearl, Dance Tonight, It Takes Two, Donnell Jones was on there, one of my favorite. Al Green, Bilal, Chaka Khan, Roger Troutman, Michelle Negocello. I mean, I like every song on this, okay. on this soundtrack, man. And it sort of fit with the movie too, because a lot of the songs in on the soundtrack were really in the movie mm-hmm. too. And if you see, you know, everybody's sort of seen the movie. If you haven't, it was one of my favorites as well.
But this is the thing, though, man. I mean, with this particular soundtrack, if you look at It Takes Two, I Like, Light as a Rock, Holding Back the Years, Love and Happiness, Sweet Thing, I Want to Be Your Man. And all these songs were already hits before they put them on the soundtrack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
To me, that's what makes it sweeter, though.
But
because
Go ahead. I'm not arguing the greatness of the compilation that they put together, but what I'm saying is... That shit that was already hot. By the theory of transitivity, the shit's gonna be hot. If it was hot then, and you put all these motherfuckers together, it's still gonna be hot. You know, that's something that would disqualify for me. Like I was talking about on Soul Food, I didn't like the fact that they put September in there because it was already a hit. It's the same thing.
Because to me, it takes the producer or whomever to put it together to say, these are the movies that fit, and it just so happens that these were hits.
Yeah, they probably
because pulled, you can
they
probably pulled
this shit out of the movie, though. But they probably pulled that shit out of the movie, though. See what I'm saying?
No, these songs.
What I'm saying, though, is that they probably scored the movie with these particular hits in mind because they were going through a time period when they were growing up together and things of that nature and shit like that. So they probably pulled those out and be like, let's put these on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know.
But to me, that's what makes it better.
Okay. All right, man. My number three is New Jack City. And, you know, you've already talked about, you know, some of the things. I just think I put more value on it than you. I don't really have anything that's, you know, earth shattering to add, you know, to that other than the fact that it really did go with the, you know, with the movie, mm-hmm. Especially the opening theme, you know, with the chase when he was on this, you know, I think he was chasing Chris Rock in the opening scene.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of fit. It just kind of fit. So, you know, really, really nice soundtrack, especially, you know, with the that's the one that had Color Me Bad on it.
Yeah.
I Want to Sex You Up on it. So
Sex You Up.
Yeah. That was like, man, that was a huge hit. But yeah, I mean,
Christopher Williams dreaming. That was hot though.
So, but anyway, man, what's your number two?
Number two is Love Jones.
How did I know?
It's my number two.
I'm surprised that wasn't number one.
Yeah, man. Number two. Like the movie, the songs, the vibe of the soundtrack was very sexy. I don't know. I think they did a great job of infusing jazz with the R&B. Had Lauryn Hill on there. You had, I mean, it was and she was, that was at the precipice of Lauryn Hill too.
Right.
She was in between Fugees and her, you know, her solo album. So it was like, I don't know. I probably, out of all these, my top 10, I probably played this one the most individually.
Really? Okay.
As a soundtrack CD. But
I think the are you done with that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not gonna make too many comments on it because I didn't really like the soundtrack as much as I liked the movie.
Okay.
That's about all I can say. But it's not a bad soundtrack. I don't think it's a bad soundtrack. I think it definitely went with the movie, you know, as far as the vibe goes. But it just wasn't up there for me. But The soundtrack that I think I play the most is actually Waiting to Exhale, which is my number two.
Okay. Because you love Whitney.
No, I mean, even that, I just love Whitney, man. It's just that the songs are hot, and there's all women on this particular soundtrack, so.
Yeah, it was hot, though.
You know, you got all this talent on there, all these beautiful black women just shining, you know, with their gifts, man. It was just, and it fit the movie.
Oh, yeah. You know,
so, not a whole lot I can say on that, man. It's like, you know, just put that shit in, and it plays, and it's timeless. I mean, you know, most of these soundtracks that we put on here, I could probably put in, and they're timeless. You know,
yeah.
You may have to be in a certain mood.
Yeah.
But they're pretty much timeless. You know, they're not going to be bad in any era. You know, nobody's going to say, damn, what the hell is that shit?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's going to be good cuts, you know, no matter when you play it 20, 30 years from now. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Number one.
All right. I'm not sure if we have any similarities here, sir, but. My number
gotta be the same. Purple
Rain.
That's what I'm talking about.
Really? Okay.
Number one, Purple Rain.
Purple Rain. So, since it's both our, I think hands down.
It ain't even close, dude. It's not even fucking close.
Okay.
It ain't even fucking close to.
Purple Rain. Right. And see, I'm not a musical. I don't like none of the movies like were like musicals, like Dreamgirls or something, where. They sing in the middle, you know, it's like a stage musical type of thing.
Right.
This was the perfect, I mean, movie for music, man.
Right.
And at that time, the anticipation of Prince being in a movie, you know, I think I was 10.
He was quiet as fuck. So it's like,
yeah.
He's actually going to talk.
You know right.
Because not too many motherfuckers ain't even heard his voice outside of, you know, something in the studio. So.
You can play, to me, I think this is probably his best album. You know, besides 1999 and maybe I think it's a past controversy album and what was after
early
that?
Prince. I like early Prince better, man. When you go back and you really listen to shit, man. I mean, you gotta think this motherfucker dropped a fucking controversy 1999 and Purple Rain. I think that was back to back to back.
Yeah.
And wasn't it?
Close, if not in that order.
I mean, I know it's in that order.
It's probably one somewhere in there.
I'm pretty sure controversy was definitely first before.
And then you got.
But I'm quite sure that it was first.
Sign of the Times is another one that I liked too.
Yeah,
but
I like that
too. But you cannot touch Purple Rain and what that movie and the music in that movie gave you. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, man. And he did drop. I mean, dude. When you think about this shit, and see, they slept on him on his first albums when he started, like in the 70s. On his first album, anyway, they released For You, was his first album, 78. Okay. Prince self-titled album went platinum in 79.
Oh, yeah. Dirty Mind. That was
a good joint, too. So this thing, let's just say from 1980. I mean, you think about it, this motherfucker released. Dirty Mind, Controversy, 1999, Purple Rain, Around the World in a Day, which is a decent album.
Yeah.
Parade, which is a decent album. Then Sign of the Times.
Yeah.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, man, seven like, albums back to back to back to back to back.
He was dropping like out his trunk type shit. I mean, every year.
Yeah, every year. But what I'm saying is like this particular. And Purple Rain, I mean, in shit, 1999 was a double album.
Yeah.
I mean, the songs were like 50 minutes long. That was back in the day where music was a little different. You were a little bit more than just 3 minutes and 30 seconds, but because the instrumentation was important.
Yeah.
But yeah, Purple Rain came in the middle. He like literally peaked to me at Purple Rain. You know what I'm saying? Even though Sign of the Times came out and that was really good too. I like that album. But after that, man, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I didn't, even though I have every album that Prince has ever made, I didn't get back into
connect.
It.
Yeah,
I didn't connect with him after, you know, some shit like that.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, you know, he was he peaked in the '80s.
Right.
I mean, Purple Rain was really the height, and that was off the heels in 1999.
That was in 1999.
1999 was
certified four times. Platinum, and back in the day, four times platinum was
a lot.
That's a lot. So, But my thing with Purple Rain, man, is, and again, my number one is Purple Rain as well. I'm like you, man. I ain't really with the musical shit as far as the movie goes, but I felt like that the way that they placed the music in the movie, because if you think about it, if you are really objective about it, Purple Rain is a shitty movie.
Yeah, I don't think it wouldn't, it's either of our top tens.
Right. It's a real shitty movie. But the music made this movie.
Right.
It made it so much to where it made this movie a classic. I think, personally speaking, if you just want to go on to acting, number one, Apollonia Cotero was fine as hell, but she was horrible as an actress. Morris Day and Jerome stole that movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely.
You know, I even say this to people all the time, man, when I'm bringing them a proposition. Anybody that knows me know this is what I say. When I'm coming to you with something, I'm like, man, I got a little song and dance. That's if you can sing a dance. I say that shit to, and they be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, see, you don't follow these movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, like I said, the movie was real shitty, man. I mean, the movie, the only reason why I watched this movie is because of the concert pieces and the way that they put those concert pieces within the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Was really ahead of its time for that particular time period. I mean, we're talking about early 80s, where movies were like, they were just shitting in general. You know, if it wasn't a big dramatic feature with all these old school, old white people in it getting all this buzz. I mean, movies like this were really, really...
We had like Smokey and the Bandit time.
Right. You know? I mean, movies were really shitty overall. So the fact that they were able to fuse that music, because, you know, Morris Day and the Time, it had some really good performances on there too. That whole,
yeah,
you know, you could have thrown their songs in on it too, and it still would have been a, you know, it'd have been a good album.
Yeah, so. And that was also during the time period we had, like, breakdancing was out, so we had Breakin' and, you know, those type of movies.
Right.
So where the movies were shitty to what you're saying, the movies really didn't live up, but the music drew us in.
Right,
so culturally,
good.
Yeah, it drew us, and you know, because it's Prince. He was able to cross lines and draw everybody in.
Right. And then the fact that, you know, when you were able to look at the performances, and even though they were overdubbed, they have the original performance of Purple Rain online on YouTube.
Mm.
And it's like twice as long as the one that's in the movie, because there's like two different guitar solos or something. It's twice as long as it is in the movie. But when you ever see that on... they actually took the audio from that particular performance and overdubbed it into his movie performance.
Wow.
So, you know, and I
think it's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Okay.
Man. So, the way that they overdubbed that in there and put the emotion in, you know, with the music or whatnot, it was just dope. And I have yet to see it be done as proficiently since.
Okay, that's I had to is. Check that out.
Yeah, check it out, man. So, anything you want to add to that?
Nah, brother. I think this may be two top tens that we agreed on. Number one,
yeah,
maybe.
That's crazy, man.
I believe.
What the hell is this?
I have to go back and check. So,
yeah, I know we agreed on like one of the movies. I think it may have been the movies.
Yeah,
it happened so few and far between that I can't remember. But anyway, man, in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all that other good stuff. We appreciate you. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWpodcast.com. That's ICBWpodcast.com. Once again, check out the merchandise store. We appreciate you. Buy a whole bunch of shit from us, man. We appreciate that, man. Anything else you want to add, brother?
That's it, man. Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
All right, yeah.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. It's fresh and reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.